evening.
We are live. Yes. How are we doing? I miss all the comments coming straight in. Man, like when I used to go to Facebook, the girls would just be straight out of the traps. You'd see all the people coming in. So now it's hard to know when you're live, but yeah, it catches you off guard. Good evening, everybody. We behind that poster, we are hiding. You can guess it by the name on the poster. For people listening on podcast, we've got Dr. Josie Boog here tonight. I would have said Boog had you not just pronounced your name moments before we came on. So we will find out where that second name came from. Guys, we are Raw Pet Medics. You will catch us on patreon.com/Raw Pet Medics, where any small contribution helps us keep going, and we deeply appreciate it. So thank you, patrons, for being on there. And we'll always do a little bit on the side afterwards. So thank you to those guys. But I think we should just get straight into it tonight. Normally we have a little chat around. Is everything okay, guys? Is there anything you desperately want to tell us before we start off?
I just want to share my T-shirt.
Oh, interesting. It says
Truth Seeker, and it's a present from my good friend, Dr. David. No, not a doctor. He should be, but he's not. Dr. David Cordes. And we were talking about truth seeking, and he said, my friend, I've got a present for you. He was here visiting a few days ago, and I actually met, what's her name? Dr. Tess Laurie.
I did.
And I just shook her hand and said, Tess, I'm really starstruck.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Where did you get to meet her?
In Bath.
Were you out and about?
She lives.
Oh, that's
10 miles down the road. So that was absolutely great. And
wow, that's a big one. Tess just got a big paper out there recently. Did you see it?
What was that?
Oh yeah, is that not the review of it was COVID related. It's very very juicy. I'll share it to you. I think it was Tess that got it. Tess Laurie's. But
maybe when we go on to Patreon.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, definitely. Facebook
at the end. We're gonna have some juicy bits at the late.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. So we've got so much to discuss tonight.
Yeah, let's jump right in
any longer. Josie,
hey.
Welcome. Let me the wonders of the internet. Let's hide this. We don't need that anymore.
Lovely.
And bring you on. It's great to meet you.
I'm so happy.
So looking forward to tonight.
Yeah. Where'd you get the second name, Josie?
Boig. It's German.
It's German. Okay.
It's
Boig.
German. Boig. I've got relatives in Greifswald, Germany.
Okay. So, cool. Yeah. And where are you now today? Where do you live today?
I am in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh,
very good. And what do you do?
I have had a holistic house call practice down here for 23 years.
I am now
branching out into doing more phone consults for people all around the country and possibly world, and doing more online education stuff, actually. So
that's good. We get asked all the time, particularly for people from the US, is there anybody you can recommend over here that can do Zoom consults? So look up Dr. Josie. We're going to put up our links as we go.
Right. And you guys are doing the raw feeding. I was raw feeding my cats back in, actually, I just realized today it's 30 years ago.
Wow.
I was raw feeding my cats when I was in vet school in the mid-90s.
Whoa.
So yeah.
That's rare.
Brilliant.
That's really fantastic.
It is rare, but.
And what are your?
Oh, I don't know. There's quite a few that eat mice and birds.
Makes my life easy.
Every farm cat in the UK is raw fed.
And what are your special areas of interest, Josie? So people know where you're coming from.
It's in traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, acupuncture, and I've been an herbalist since before I went to vet school. So I love the plants, and I love working with the plants and the animals. I do acupuncture, I do energy work, I do Reiki, all different kinds of things.
Cool.
So I try to get the animal balanced and then wean them off the pharmaceuticals that they've been put on.
And
help them live really long lives. I mean, most of my animals, I think acupuncture really is a preventative medicine. And when I can be doing it regularly on patients, they live 18, 19, 20 years, you know?
Nick shared a great one there a few days ago, Nick, on your page. You said, A good doctor is not somebody that gets you on meds, they get you off them. And I just thought, that is a great line. That's
awesome.
I tell you
we
what.
Need a t-shirt.
Another one. I say to my clients, the best vet is the vet you don't need to talk to. I am in the business of putting myself out of business, you know, and the more that happens, the happier I am.
Business is good. I'm not seeing anyone.
Yeah. Well, I tell my clients, I'm like, I don't cheat my animals. My animals exist as emotional support for me, but I don't have to treat them, you know. I feed them good food.
Totally.
Definitely. Yeah. So what are we talking about tonight, guys? What is the what's the main topic here?
Librela, I think.
Talking about a pharmaceutical. Yeah.
What is Librela? We covered a bit of this last week, but we dashed through it. Huge topic. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Josie?
Librela is actually not a pharmaceutical drug. It's a pharmaceutical product. It's a recombinant genetic product. It's genetically engineered to as a monoclonal antibody to bind to a very specific substance that the mammalian body produces. So we've all heard like monoclonal antibodies. We heard them during COVID. So they can design monoclonal antibodies now. This is part of the whole new tech thing along with the jab and all that. So they can genetically create an antibody that's injected into the body that will bind to different substances. Now, the monoclonal antibody for COVID bound to the COVID virus. This monoclonal antibody binds to something called nerve growth factor. And before I use any new pharmaceutical drug product, whatever coming on the market, my rule of thumb over the last 30 years is to give it 2 or 3 years to see what happens. Because they will release these, the FDA, at least in the United States, will release them. And those first 2 or 3 years are really the clinical trial period of this medication. So we're in the clinical trial period of Librela. Now, I also kind of reverse engineer. So I go back to my physiology. I go back to my biochemistry. I want to know what this drug is doing and the potential ramifications in the body. So we're talking about nerve growth factor. And nerve growth factor, I think it was one of the first of these growth factors that was discovered. Now in functional medicine, they're using a lot of them. It's actually a peptide, a small protein, and it's exhibited all throughout the body. And it has to do with repairing neuronal growth in adults, neuroplasticity, creating new dendritic sensory neurons. In a growing animal, young animal, it does all kinds of things to help our nerve growth. Now, it's in every single tissue. It's in the central nervous system. It's in the peripheral nervous system. It's in the cardiac tissue at high amounts. It's also found in joints in high amounts. Now, when they first discovered this, there's some really good information out there, but they were like, wow, look at what this thing does. Maybe we can use it to treat degenerative neurological conditions. So they isolated it and started injecting it and had like horrific problems by doing that. So they backed off that and were like, this isn't a good idea because we're having some really nasty side effects. And so,
animal trials, Josie.
There were some human trials with it. Okay. And what's interesting, and I just want to throw this in here, lion's mane mushroom, I'm a big fan of the medicinal mushrooms. Lion's mane mushroom will actually stimulate production of nerve growth factor in the body. So I've been using lion's mane mushroom to stimulate the body to make its own nerve growth factor. I think there's a big difference when the body makes a protein like this versus injecting it externally into the body.
Surely.
So what they did is they found it in joint tissue and they're like, wow, they tried blocking nerve growth factor in joint tissue. And because it has to do with the sensory neurons, They found that they could eliminate pain in the joints by taking away the nerve growth factor. So they designed this monoclonal antibody, and they went through actually three different similar drugs. There was Eli Lilly, and another company had one round. They stopped at the level two trials. They were seeing too many weird effects, so they just failed out. Then there was one with Eli Lilly and Pfizer. They got to level three clinical trials in people, and all of a sudden, they started seeing what they're calling ROPA, R-O-P-A, rapid onset progressive arthritis. And every single person who was given this injection, they were seeing joints just completely like disintegrate almost in front of them, their eyes. And they had to go in for emergency joint replacement surgeries. So there was a panel, I guess, on the FDA of arthritis MD specialists, rheumatoid arthritis specialists. And they're like, guys, we got to pull this clinical trial because these are just way too severe side effects. We got to stop it now. Okay, so then they probably went back to the lab and tweaked it a little bit. They'd invested a lot of money to get it this far.
Can't let that go.
So they tweak it a little bit. They come out with Solensia, and I haven't had a chance to dive deep into that. And now Librela. So Solensia is specific for feline growth factor. Librela is specific for canine nerve growth factor. When I look into it, I went to the Zoetis site and got their FDA summary of approval. And when I started reading through it, it's almost laughable, honestly. Every concern that is brought up, they literally say, we don't know. So
can you give us some examples, Josie?
So first of all, in the FDA summary of approval, the FDA has this statement. They say, veterinarians should advise owners about the possible adverse events and side effects before using this drug. The FDA encourages dog owners to work with their veterinarian to report any adverse events or side effects potentially related to the use of any drug, including Librela. Now, the problem is, at least here in the United States, the pharma reps for Zoetis are going out to all these clinics and literally telling veterinarians that there are no side effects, that it is safe to use in any dog, and there are no side effects. And I have had I've probably had 20 vets come to me saying, but they said there were no side effects. Now, and there's a problem, there's like a disconnection here too, because I feel as medical professionals with medical licenses, we have a certain responsibility to be able to give informed consent to our patients and dig a little bit more deeper into things than just listening to the pharmacology rep, the pharma rep walking through our front door. So,
Josie, is it true? I'm sorry for interrupting your stream of thought here. Yeah. Is it true that the lack of side effects that are reported in the EU and US literature aren't the same as the side effects reported in the Canadian literature in the insert in the box? I heard that the Canadian literature has a list of side effects that would kind of curl your toes a bit.
Yeah, they are different. Now, the only thing that was done, there were two studies done. There was a study done in the United States and there was a study done in the EU. Two field studies. They were for 84 days. The one in the United States was 135 dogs and 137 control dogs that were given three injections. The one in the EU was 84 days, 138 Librela dogs, 143 control, three injections. Now, they put this on the market, and this is what got my attention because I had a colleague come to me about it. They put it on the market for monthly injections. And I said, well, how long are you supposed to give the injections? Oh, indefinitely. And I was like, you mean for the life of the dog? Oh, yeah, indefinitely. Every month. And the field studies were only 3 months long. The longest study they did included another study that had six additional monthly injections. So that would bring it out to 9 months. But in the 6 additional monthly injections, they did not include a control group in that study.
Ooh, naughty, naughty.
Yeah.
I've got the Canadian.
Worse from here.
I've got the Canadian data sheet here, and it says there is no safety data on the concurrent long-term use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and Librela in dogs. Here we go, Josie. This is backing up what you were saying. In clinical trials in humans, rapidly progressive osteoarthritis has been reported in patients receiving humanized anti-NGF monoclonal antibodies. Incidence of these events increases with high dose and in those human patients that receive long-term meaning more than 90 days, non-steroidal therapy concomitant with monoclonal antibody, NGF. Dogs have no reported equivalent of human rapidly progressive osteoarthritis, which is quite reassuring.
Yet. Okay. And were they even looking at it? Were they even looking for it in the studies? They weren't doing x-rays on these dogs. I couldn't find that anywhere.
Ooh.
In the dog report, they literally say there was a 2-week laboratory safety study that did not provide sufficient data to support the safety of concurrent use of Librela and NSAIDs. Now, if you have a dog coming in lame and arthritis, what are they going to be on? They're going to be on NSAIDs, most likely.
Yeah.
The other issue was, okay, the safe use of this product with other monoclonal antibodies has not been evaluated. The other monoclonal antibodies that are being used, a big one is Cytopoint.
Oh, I didn't know that was a monoclonal.
Yes, that's a monoclonal antibody. So all these dogs with skin conditions, because their bodies are so inflamed, are coming in lame with arthritis. Well, they're going to pop them with Librela on top of the Cytopoint. Second thing, evaluations were not made to determine if interactions occurred between Librela and veterinary vaccines.
They've got no data there, Josie. Is that what you're saying?
No data. Wow. Yeah, this is FDA. This is out of the package insert, United States package insert. Then the safe use of anti-NGF monoclonal antibodies. Okay, that's the concurrent use with that. It goes on. Long-term effects, which may occur more than 9 months after the use of Librela, have not been evaluated.
Wow. And yet they're recommending it's used for indefinitely.
For life.
Yes, indefinitely. And there's another one. They're finding nerve growth factor is expressed in high percentages in cardiac tissue. They have no data on how this will affect dogs coming in with cardiac issues. And this is literally one thing after another. This was not evaluated. We do not have data. We do not know. We do not know. The scary thing that I'm most concerned about is immunogenicity. And they do mention this on the package insert. So let me see. Okay, so immunogenicity is the ability of a foreign substance, such as an antigen, to provoke an immune response in the body. Now we're injecting a recombinant genetically designed protein into the body. If the body, its immune system, decides to react to that like a foreign body, it's going to provoke an immune system, immune response to it. Now, they're saying that they have not found all therapeutic, this is in the Freedom of Information summary for Librela, all therapeutic protein products have the potential for inducing an immune response, immunogenicity, following administration to a host, like a humoral immune response and the production of antibodies in the host. These host-derived antibodies may bind to the therapeutic protein and may result in decreased effectiveness or increased risk for an adverse reaction. Due to the limitations of the assay methods performed to evaluate immunogenicity, clinically relevant conclusions or correlations were not determined from the immunogenicity data reported. So in the package insert, it says treatment with Librela may result in the formation of anti-Librela antibodies and potentially the loss of productive effectiveness. Now, if we're talking about this producing, the body producing antibodies to the Librela, we're going to form antibody antigen complexes, which then can do things like lodge in the kidneys and create glomerulonephritis. It can create autoimmune reactions, and it can even lead down to the road to cancer. But we're not going to talk about that because our assays couldn't prove it. And so that's my biggest concern. When I
but
put this...
We do know from a basic immunology, the more times you repeat that antibody, the protein injection, which is essentially what it is, it's a peptide, the more likely you are to get that adverse reaction.
So the other thing.
And so is this going to be like an amyloid being laid down in the kidney?
Well,
you know,
you get the glomerulonephritis or those antigen antibody complexes lodging in the glomerulus, but then you can also drive into activating the complement system and you'll have a full blown meltdown. I have had some of those reported to me. And there's a couple websites on Facebook of people reporting adverse events, and somebody had their dog literally bleed out in the middle of the living room floor. There's no way. The other thing is there's no way of predicting how an individual dog's going to respond to this.
That seems to be the case.
Yeah, and the other thing is people, it's not meant for dogs with any kind of neurological problems because it's a nerve growth factor. And veterinarians are not screening for neurological problems in addition to arthritis to use this because they think there's no side effects. So they're now, I've had multiple reports coming in, their vets are giving it to like 4-year-old dogs that, you know, fell wrong or have a slight tweak in their leg and they're coming lame and they're giving this as the injection for pain.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week. You know, it's the inappropriate use of drugs starts to really cause an even further drive down a line of, look, this could be really problematic. It's, you know, yes, I have heard also some people say it's been brilliant for their pets. They've had some great initial results and it's been really useful. I hope towards the end we'll get to talk about alternative pain management for those people that are really struggling, you know, with this news because their pet has responded, but they don't have any alternative currently being offered by their vet.
Well, this is
pain management.
And this is a sneaky thing about this is there are these miracle stories that they're holding up of dogs not being able to walk and they're injected and then boom, they're up and walking. I have an old client of mine. She's been a client of mine for 20 years, and she moved out of state. And she contacted as soon as she saw my Substack. All of this is written down in my Substack report, the quote from the insert, everything. And she had a dog who was in rehab. He was actually doing great. He was going on 2-mile walks with her. But her rehab vet was like, well, he's slowing down on the treadmill, and there's this new product that could come out that could really help him. Now, it wasn't that he wasn't already doing well. They gave him the injection. They gave him a second injection. She didn't notice that much difference in him. And then she let him to go. She let him out in the backyard to go pee and came back. And he was dragging his entire back end in. What also is happening are these acute collapse episodes, which I am suspicious about that ROPA issue with it. But vets are like, oh, well, Librela doesn't have side effects, so they're not even following up, like doing x-rays or checking into what's really going on. There have been some dogs that have had collapse episodes, and then people have waited it out as well. So waited out until the body removes this antibody. Now, they still don't even know. In the package insert, they're like, we assume this antibody is removed from the body like any other antibody. So they literally use the word assume in the packaging. So that's where we are with that.
What about you, Brent? What do you do for troublesome cases? Where can you go on the the conventional side as well? Like, what are the safer options there?
Okay, look, safety always comes in a matter of you've got to check what that animal is otherwise suffering from. If they've got other conditions concurrent, you've got to be mindful of adapting any medication to that. I would say there's some real easy wins, though, still with nutrition in mind, talking about omega-3s. You know, many of our standard diets out there, we're still at a 10 to 1, if not a 30 to 1 ratio of omega-6s, pro-inflammatory, great for the immune system, but pro-inflammatory omegas versus omega-3s. And actually, a lot of the functional medicine practitioners say, look, you should be down to 3 to 1 ratios. So 3 parts omega-6 to 1 part omega-3. So 3 times the amount of your standard diet, that's a 10 to 1 ratio. And so supplementing omega-3s, hands down, I think, is a given. Now, most people will think of it for skin and glossy coat. No, it's for any inflammatory condition. Any inflammatory condition. So I'd definitely say that would be definitely in my top 3 of supplements that's got to go in. I do absolutely agree, you know, anything that reduces inflammation in the body and sealing and healing the gut with bone broth, let alone the benefits you're going to get in the rest of the body, you know, is sort of doing it on so many levels that, you know, it's got to be in there with supplements. Boswellia, I love as a herbal supplement. There's some great products in the UK from Nutravet, which is also Vet Pro. We've talked about in the past on arthritis. Drugs, I would always say, I think there is a great way of synergy between medications where it means you can minimize the dose but maximize the pain relief by adding more than one way of controlling the pain. Okay, so talk to your vet. I'm not going to go into the depths of those right now. I have on the arthritis one before, and I think it's really down for you to speak to your vet to discuss that and not just to accept a non-steroidal again that's causing your dog gut to upset, that you don't just go in for an opioid and say, oh yeah, you know, everybody's using gabapentin, let's just chuck gabapentin in for a laugh, you know.
I could do a whole nother talk on gabapentin. Wonderful favorite.
So, you know, look, there are ways to combine. Yeah, there are vets out there that specialize in pain management. You can certainly talk to them about the drug. I love that Josie does TCM and acupuncture. We use that a lot in the practice. I find it really useful. Rather than red light therapy, I do tend to use laser because that's what we've got, very similar. And it's a way of our nurses effectively giving acupuncture, but without needles. So our nursing team can often deliver laser therapy to the patients. And that can be a great adjunct to therapy. Movement, not vigorous exercise, but movement, I think is so important. So physiotherapy, looking at, all the way from chiropractic all the way to hydrotherapy, I think have great places again in pain management. I think, looking at that, a massage, all of those can be really, really useful. So it's a complex, you've got to find what fits for your dog, you know, that's going to keep them in the right place. I think I haven't even touched on how their mental state, their, you know, parasympathetics can come to play to reduce inflammation. You know, cutting out sympathetic stressors, you know, is so important. You know, all of those factors. If you've got a really short-nosed dog, you know, actually thinking very carefully, you know, is that BOAS essential to reduce some of the stressors that are causing inflammation in the rest of the body? You know, it's a really difficult, I hate talking about short-nosed dogs and BOAS therapy, surgery, but it is, you know, we shouldn't have bred them that way in the first place. Sorry, guys, if you've got a very short-nosed dog. But, you know, from a point of, thinking sympathetic stressors, not being able to breathe is a massive one.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Mm. So.
Yeah.
So Josie, tell us about where people can get hold of you.
Before Josie gives us those things, I just had a quick look online there as just to see, you know, has the West followed up with anything that, you know, every time the East says something, you know, the West catches up on thousands of years later by doing a study. But I'm looking for something. Have they done anything on deer velvet? And they've got a really cool study here of a lot of different mice in different situations using deer velvet. But there's way too many huge words to read it out. It's a long intro and abstract. But in very short, big changes, benefits, pathophysiological images of the hindpaws showed that a treatment with deer velvet reduced immune cell infiltration, synovial hyperplasia, and cartilage damage. On and on. It definitely has shown massive potential, but we're not quite sure of the exact mechanisms yet. So that was.
I thought you were going to come up with it, and they grew a new limb.
I'm going to rub it on my head. Let you know how I get on.
Coming right out.
I so want you to do that, and you suddenly end up with two antlers.
Oh, very cool.
Or a unicorn.
They'll call me a dickhead.
That means something else over this side of the.
Totally agree with Connor that there is some great science. Yes. This is produced by, as you can imagine, the New Zealand Deer Velvet Council or something like this. But in the back, they provide the references.
Oh,
Nicola Crosswell is now saying, oh, great, Nick's got a book.
Nicola, you can go off, people. Okay, and so we've got references galore.
Yeah.
If you went back 2,000 years, it would be quadruple that number of references.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing must the stuff be? If you think about what a deer has to do every year, okay, look at fallow deer. They've got these palmate antlers, okay, so it's a big, solid structure. I mean, red deer, older red deer. I mean, they are huge and heavy. If you ever pick up one antler off the ground, you'll see that is a considerable bone. These guys have to grow, and some girls and some of the service species, have to grow two of these every single year, and they've only got 4 months to do it. So can you imagine what? I mean, they knock them off. You'll find them everywhere in November, December. If your dog wants to chew them, go to where deer live and go to the brush and you'll find them there. But like, they start growing them in April and they have to be ready to go by the end of September. These two enormous bone structures. Can you imagine the amount of calcium alone and what this velvet does to make that happen?
It is incredible, isn't it?
Ingredients
in by the way, I've got digital versions of this document, guys. If anybody wants those
send it over.
700 references, then just give me a shout. Email me.
Yeah.
And
did you say you're giving lots of free samples at this point?
I'm not giving any samples. I will give you, I'll give you the data.
Just the PDF.
You can see for yourself. And we've got lots. We've got Sean in New Zealand who sent it over.
Very...
It's great. Lovely.
Yeah, you can buy from you, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, we make it. Ellie's done the packaging, so it all looks really lovely. And it's a TCM product. Get your gin going, which is always a good thing, I think.
I like that. So, Josie, where can people follow you, find you? Where would you like
the easiest is probably on Facebook under Josie Bugh DVM. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Josie Pet Vet. I am going to be starting a 12-month preventative wellness course where pet parents are welcome, vets are welcome, that we're going to go through seasonally through Chinese medicine on how to treat each of the organ systems by the season and the five elements.
Wow.
So we're going to take a big deep dive. It's going to be experiential. I'm going to teach people how to stimulate acupuncture points at home, how to work with their animals manually, and just
love
this.
Yeah, and so they'll just get you at your socials and drop you a little message, and you'll show them how to sign up. Loving
exactly. There's going to be I'm gonna be coming out with more stuff on my socials on that, and my link tree. You can find all my links. I'm also on Substack as well. So,
Josie, really exciting. Well done, you. That's great.
Can we pick your brains for five more minutes?
Yeah,
can we just
definitely.
Do a very quick tour of gabapentin, because my old shepherd. We'll do it on Patreon.
I started seeing all these animals coming to me with gabapentin. So I sat down one weekend and did the same thing. I was
We're going to pause.
We
never told you.
Yeah.
We're just going to say goodbye to the Facebook guys, and we're just going to say you can come across before you give away all your secrets.
No, I won't.
And guys, I have freeze framed Connor's impression of a moose to go alongside Nick's impression of a lipoma. So we're slowly gathering through the year. You wait till Christmas. That's going to be our right calendar.
Thanks.
But anyway, it's just like
we still haven't shown all your "I'm a lumberjack" pictures with with you and your Canadian your Canadian budgie smugglers chopping trees.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Yeah. This has been furnishing us a lot of very weird shit.
Difficult to look at, but we just hide them in a deep vault. And it's okay.
It was worth the 1,000 quid we gave. It was.
Guys,
that's great. You'll find us on patreon.com/rawpetmedics. Thanks everybody for the help there. We do appreciate it, and we will see you next week for whatever we've got planned. I'm not quite sure what that is. And then for patrons, you'll see us over on Patreon as soon as Bren uploads it. But we're gonna dash over now to Patreon and do a little bit with Josie on Gabapentin.
Awesome.
So thanks everybody for joining us, and we will see you next week. Thanks all. Thanks, Josie.
Thank you.
Josie, just stay with us here. Cheers.
Yeah. Bye.